Welcome to the Make an Extra Cool Podcast, the link between research, practice, and theory for those interested in the activities youth are involved with during non-school hours. The Make an Extra Cool Podcast is produced by Case for Kids, a division of Harris County Department of Education, and I'm your host, Mike Wilson. Today's topic of the Make an Extra Cool Podcast focuses on the power of the spoken word as it pertains to writing poetry. My guest today is Houston area poet, Miss Joanne Blanchard. There are numerous benefits for students to write and read poetry. According to the published research in the Excellius International Multidisciplinary Journal of Education, Kielik, Kuisan, and Lotto, 2023, findings reveal that poetry integration positively influences language acquisition as learners demonstrated improved vocabulary acquisition, reading comprehension, and language proficiency. The rhythmic pattern and emotional appeal of poems enhance learning's phonological awareness, pronunciation, and language fluency. Moreover, poetry exposes listeners to diverse cultural appreciation. I also want to point out that April is Poetry Month, and so, in conjunction with Poetry Month, it is my pleasure to introduce Ms. Joanne Blanchard, who is a Houston area poet, to the Make an Extra Cool Podcast. Ms. Blanchard, how are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing really, really good. So I really appreciate you taking some time this morning. So we're going to jump right in. Today we're talking about the power of the written word, the power of chronicling how you're feeling and so on. And if you're blessed, sharing it with people that could also be blessed by some of the things that you're saying. So you are a poet, and I want to start off with, at what age did you start writing poetry and what motivated you to do so?
So I started writing, not necessarily poetry, when I was about the age of maybe 6, 7. Being that my family was from a different country, the one we lived in at the time, my dad would make us sit down and write letters to our cousins. Let me tell you something. At that young age, all I wanted to do was be outside in the hot sun, running around. I was living in the Caribbean at the time, which is where I'm from. And I did not have any time to be sitting down at 6 or 7 to be writing letters, writing correspondence back and forth to my cousins. I had a bike I needed to ride. I had some boys I needed to go beat because they thought they could run faster than me, and so on and so forth. So yeah, that was the last thing I had time for. But then, you know, now looking back now, I can realize that the benefit of what he did was really, it really inspired me. There was a lot that I was able to learn from that. So I really and truly am grateful for my dad for what he did, what he forced me at the time to do. But I understand now, looking backwards as a parent, what it did for me.
I had a similar experience. We moved around a lot when I was little, and so every time we would move, I would write, you know, letters to some of my old friends, and they return. And I was always excited whenever I did get one. You know, it's like, oh, I got mail today. That's before email, so it was really, really exciting. But I think it did plant the seed of actually thinking about what you're experiencing and putting it in a format to where you can share those experiences. So I think, you know, for parents or even programs, people working with kids, getting them into the habit of communicating, be it verbal or written, I think is a great practice.
Right, right. Well, for me, what helped my creative side is because my cousins didn't write back as often as my father wanted me to write them. So they got to enjoy what I did not write outside, because now my creativity had to come into play, because now I'm having to make up conversations because there was one way. The letters didn't come back within a timely manner, and here it is. I'm asking the same questions. I'm having to find different ways to put it. So that developed a lot of creativity on my side.
Yeah.
But, you know, from that, the poetry came, I think probably when I was in junior high, I had my first crush. And, you know, all I could think about was him. So writing was a way of me expressing and kind of controlling and understanding my feelings, because, you know, that was my first crush. I didn't know exactly what was going on. And how to express it, and I didn't feel like that my parents would understand. So, yeah, it was interesting. And I found that at that time, my favorite book became The Thesaurus. My parents had purchased Encyclopedia Britannica, which they always like to remind us. They purchased the complete version, right? Meaning you cannot, I don't care how long you stayed on this one particular encyclopedia, you've got 36 others because trust me, they really invested in the complete Encyclopedia Britannica, which at that time, for kids who don't know, that is our Instagram, right? That is our Google. So yeah, was what we had at the time.
Yeah, Google is a lot quicker and faster, but you're right, we have one of those as well. And they came in handy as I got older, but then again, when computers start to develop, it's like, all right, it's collecting dust right now. But look, I did have a chance to see you about a month or so ago, and a colleague of both of ours was doing a program, and he said he wanted a poet in it, and I didn't realize it was you. We were just sharing about what this program was going to be like. So how did you get known as a poet? And were you originally afraid to share some of your writing, especially in public or with other people?
Wow, that's a very heavy question. So yes, I did have a lot of friends that wanted me to write papers for them. I've been writing papers, birthday cards, letters, like I said earlier. So as far back as I can know, so in junior high, I realized I had a gift. And for a minimal fee, well, let's just say there's a lot that can get done for the right amount of money, right? So, yeah, a couple of my friends, they invited me to some poetry lounges. And I've been going, it's been about 12 years off and on. And I'd taken a break. It was about 4 or 5 years since I had been to one. And I have a friend of mine that believed in my poetry so much, unbeknownst to me, she went behind my back and she signed me up. So I didn't know. I'm sitting in the audience and they called my name and I'm looking behind because I'm waiting for her, whomever she may be, right? I'm waiting for her to show up until I realized it was me. And I was taken aback. I was not ready. But, it gave me the opportunity to get up there to... For the first time, I got on stage, I laid it down. It was not easy. It really wasn't. And so you're trying to feed off of the energy of it, what everybody else has got going on. And yeah, so what you come up with at that point is, man, which poem am I going to do? I had no idea. I'm back and forth with it. I'm trying to figure it out. I was in a position. So yeah, by the time I figured out which one I was gonna do and I put it down, by the time I got off stage, I realized that my nerves, I finally beat the nerves. I got the right poem. I said it. I got through it. I'm still alive. I put, my heart and soul in that poem. So when it was done, I fell in her arms crying, laughing, everything, just really appreciative for what she did for me. So it was new, it was different, but it was challenging, very, very challenging.
Yeah, I think sometimes we need that push just to get out there, especially when somebody believes in you and they recognize your talent, maybe more so than you do. And so, yeah, you've been fortunate to at least have at that time a friend that's like, I'm throwing her in the deep end. We're going to see what happens.
And the deep end she threw me, most definitely, yes.
Well, now, for a lot of people, they may have all these feelings and they don't know, a way to express them. How do you develop your poems? Are they based on a feeling, a mood, a memory or past experience, or just sometimes they just come to you and you just write it down?
I'll tell you what, there is no one answer for that. That's a very, very personal question for everybody individually. It's more individualized. So what may be my answer today may change tomorrow on how I, how the development. But for me, it's what I'm feeling at the time. Maybe it may be a word or a sentence I may have heard somewhere, you know, something that just kind of resonated with me, a memory. So when, you know, when I first started taking my poetry seriously, because I had so much trauma I had been through, so I needed an outlet. So, you know, I needed to give the little girl inside of me a voice. So she had been unfairly through a lot. I mean, a lot. Everybody thinks that they're the only ones who've been through things. And so when you realize that the little girl inside of you or the little boy inside of you needs, that they have a lot to say and they need a voice, you give them a voice. So yeah, it was, it's experiences, past and present, sometimes future. You know, sometimes I'm thinking about what I want to do, what I want to be, where I want to go from where I am now. And so, yeah, the development of it comes from many, many directions. There's no one solid answer.
Great, great. Well, do you find it easy to write, or occasionally do you suffer from writer's block?
Oh my gosh, please let's not remind me of writer's block. I have 6 manuscripts I'm trying to write. And the only thing that gives me a little bit of solace is the fact that my poems come so much easier to me than finishing a book. So I have like 6 books sitting in the queue somewhere waiting for me to pick it up, because writer's block keeps sneaking in. Every time I think I'm over it, I get back there and I probably have just enough to write, you know, 3 or 4 lines and I'm out again. So yeah, writer's block is something that is very, very real. And one of the things that I've come to realize that happens is when you surround yourself with people, like-minded people, it makes it a little bit easier to deal with it, to not be so frustrated, to not be upset about it, to accept that maybe it is going to be 10 years before that book is finished. It's okay. That book is not supposed to come out. That poem is not supposed to come out. That letter, whatever it is, those words are not supposed to come out, not a moment sooner than the day it all happened.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that, because I think for a lot of young people, they self-internalize when they struggle with something. And I think to hear that it's human to at times get stuck and you can't feel, you don't know how you want to express yourself or get it down on paper. And I think for young people, especially during the school day, when they have assignments and, you know, they're due on a certain time, you don't forget the due date. But if you need to take a break, if you need to take your mind off or something, take a few minutes, reframe, and then you could start it all over again. So yeah, I think I'm glad you were willing to share that. Now, for a lot of people, you know, having role models, there's something that this person inspires them, there's something that they connect with. Who are your favorite poets to read? And if so, why do they inspire you?
I don't want to sound like I'm patting myself on the back, but I'm going to start with me. I've always told my children, make sure that you are your best self. You're always stepping up and making sure that everything you do, you're doing it with the intent to make yourself proud first and foremost. And if once that's happening, you start realizing you become someone else's hero, someone else that they, you know, that someone is looking up to. But Maya Angelou definitely is an inspiration of mine. To have seen me in her, right? I saw the same color skin in a woman that had such elegance in the way she worded her feelings and her experiences. To know that people revered her with such respect, right? And that was something that I aspired to. So it was something I was able to connect with. Her hair looked like mine. Her skin looked like mine. Her smile looked like mine. So it was easier for me to see her as a role model than to see someone else who did not necessarily look like the people I could connect with. So she was very eloquent in what she said and how she said it. And so that was one of the biggest reasons she became my role model.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with her as well. My favorite poem, which is Rudyard Kipling, If. And I relate to the fact that it has so many different struggles in it, but it also ends with, if this happens, then you still can overcome it. And so it became sort of a mantra for me that I kind of say all the time in my head. I'll probably say it, but it's just like, hey, when you know I wake up, I know the day is going to have some unexpected events, but you still just kind of stay on course. Now, I know, and you kind of shared a little bit with this earlier, that, you know, writing poems and writing down your feelings and things like that is a very personal experience for some. And sometimes you may get, you know, invited to something and you create a work of art for that. But do you personally have a favorite poem that you've written? And if so, what makes it so special?
Wow. So yes, I do. I think it's about four of them that I can think of off the top of my head. One of them being Horizon, another one being Masculinity, another one being Dear Man in the Black Suit, and another one being Real Ass. And they are special to me because they allowed me the opportunity to speak directly to my audience about how I view the black man. Two of them. One of them is, I notice how society is so caught up on black women's shape and their derriere. So what it did for me was, I hate to say this, but because I am blessed in that area, I have had too many years since I was a little girl that is what people see before they see my, you know, my brain, or they will never see my brain because they're so caught up on that. So I wrote directly from my spirit about that because I wanted to be seen and not seen for what someone else was thinking that I was presenting, right? Yes, that's what I was blessed with, but that wasn't what I was presenting. I was presenting my mind, my inner me, and I needed to be seen.
Now, why do you think it's important for youth to have a method to express their thoughts and feelings?
I grew up in an era where kids didn't have a voice or a choice in most cases. It was the do as I say, not as I do era. So for me, writing was the only way to get anyone to listen, even if it was only the universe, right? It didn't necessarily have to be someone, but the fact that I was able to put it out there, I put it out there on paper, but then I was also able to put it out there verbally while I'm reading it. So I felt like my words were coming out. I was getting an opportunity to express. So I think it's really extremely important for the youth to have method to express their thoughts, right? Have an opportunity to express their feelings because there's, you know, youth, young people, children, they're nothing more than little people, right? And a lot of us, we stop looking at them, or we've never looked at them as people, we look at them as children, but forget that they're affected by the stresses of day-to-day activity also, you know? They're affected by everything that affects grown-ups. So it's, you know, I'm just so sorry to say that their feelings aren't taken into consideration as much as they should be. So with that said, we just have to give them a space, right? So writing for me, that's what it did. And so that was one of the creative ways that I would suggest that children consider when wanting to have a voice. Sometimes you can't get a word in edgewise because the adults don't want to listen. So if you write it down, maybe you can have another way of saying it. And then you'll be able to get your words across a little bit easier. They won't be able to argue with your words on paper. So it makes it a lot easier to communicate that way.
If a person is interested in reading some of your writings or actually have you come out and recite some of your poems, what's the best way for them to contact you?
So I have an Instagram, Empress Jase the Poet. That's one of the ways. I can be found in downtown Houston. Poetry Lounge seems to be the place that I gravitate to a lot on Sundays. But because I'm a public speaker and a domestic violence advocate, I can be found at several speaking engagements. I usually advertise it on my social media platform. So, you know, but I'm in and around Houston, Dallas. I've been commissioned a couple of times, or they tried to commission me to come to the Caribbean. The problem is my schedule doesn't necessarily line up with theirs, because if I'm not going to go to catch a plane and come back. If I'm going, I'm going for 2 weeks at a time. And so it, you know, usually the money will not allow me to spend 2 weeks down there because I got a whole job I got to come back to, right? Also, I have, they can contact me on my email, which is Jahsay Blanchard, which is J-A-H-S-A-Y Blanchard, B-L-A-N-C-H-A-R-D at Gmail. The Instagram is Empress, E-M-P-R-E-S-S, Jah, J-A-H-S-A-Y, The Poet, all one word.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for taking some time to visit me. As I stated earlier, it's always a pleasure to see you, and it's awesome, always great to get reconnect with a old friend. So,
yes.
And I don't mean to amplify old, but yeah, after a while.
Right. Let's not go so heavy on that word old. Indeed.
Do you have any final comments before we shut this one down?
So usually when I am closing out my speaking engagements, I will leave, you know, I'll drop some seeds, some words of encouragement. One of the things I'll say is be blessed to be a blessing to someone else. Or one of my favorite is live your life like you want your obituary written. Now, this is something that when I became a parent, I started trying to live my life by. The seeds you plant today are the fruits your children will eat tomorrow. And so I try to keep that in mind in everything I do. This is your girl, Jahsay, Empress Jahsay, reminding you to live your life on purpose, with purpose.
Well, again, thank you for joining me today. And I also want to thank all those that are listening to us. Please join me for future episodes as we continue to explore issues relevant to the out-of-school time field.